Intergalactic planet every planet every intergalactic.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back! Second hour of the show. One in the books, still two to go. The Usual Suspects on a Monday fun day. We are having a blast. And you guys are a part of it, which, of course, we appreciate. And always good to have you along for the ride. And every Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m., we always tell you, download the app first and foremost, ESPN975.com, because then you can take us anywhere, everywhere. We've got people always texting in saying, hey, I'm listening from here, Carolina, California, all over the place. We love to get those reports. We're quick to get it out to let the peeps know, because you guys can always hear us, and then we're always in touch with you, and we appreciate that. Otherwise, if you missed any of the first hour, please go back and listen, because it was hilarious. ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, get hour number one, and you'll be glad you did.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff in that, and then we'll have some more, because we've got some insight into the mind of Juggalo Trey. We'll talk some video games, Red Dead Redemption, but I want to talk football, but I want to know where you want to go first. Do you want to talk how impressive the Cougs were?
I know you do. I know Nick does.
Or do you want to talk about, kind of work backwards from the NFL from last night's Sunday night game?
Either way, you guys call it. Look, Nick, I know that you were glued to the television.
Let's
talk
Cougs.
Your loyalty to the Cougs meant that you didn't miss a single play. So first and foremost, break down for me what you thought of Ed Oliver. On is he still up for the Heisman based on his performance this weekend and what he can bring to the table? Dumbass.
Oh, my bad. My bad. I totally gave it away.
Was he tossing to me about some Cougs stuff?
Yeah,
can you break down the Cougs for me right now? And from the standpoint of, what did you take away from Ed Oliver's performance this weekend? Is he still up for the Heisman?
I didn't watch.
Okay.
You want me to break it down for you?
Yeah. Why didn't you watch?
I was working.
Nick, whose house?
What?
I was producing.
Whose house? Were you?
I tell you what, man.
Wherever you're working, whose house? Cougs' house. Come on.
That was an impressive, impressive win over a good South Florida team.
Came in undefeated.
Yeah. And they were ranked, I think, what, 20, 21, 22, somewhere in there?
Yeah.
And rolled them. And it wasn't even close.
And you know what this does,
57-36, that's an ass
Ed
whooping.
Oliver, yeah, who did without not Ed play. Oliver.
Right.
So that was huge. And the fact of the matter is, for all the people that were worried about the quarterback position and all the retreads they were trying to get in there and all the people questioning Major Applewhite, things look to be pretty rosy over there in Cougarland on Cullen Boulevard, because Major looks like he's got his bleep together.
Yep. Yep, he does.
And De'Aaron King? Oh, man. You thought Greg Ward was going to make the NFL in some regard, playing any position possible. This kid's got way more moves.
How's this for a stat line? 28 of 40, 419 yards, 5 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, a 98.6 QBR.
Ain't bad.
Pretty damn good against a top 20 team.
All he's got to do now is talk like Kermit the Frog, and he could be a first-round draft pick.
Man, you know, I mean, you consider that they put up the 419 yards through the air. They still ran for 263 yards. They just outright whooped South Florida in every facet of the game. Now, they did give up a bit on the ground,
sure.
But that's when you're missing Ed Oliver,
yep,
one of the best players right in the country, you're going to give up some rushing yards. That's going to happen.
So here's the two takeaways I've got, too. One, this is going to set up one hell of a matchup with UCF at the end of the year.
Oh, boy.
For the conference title.
Yep.
That is going to be a monster. That's going to be fun. And more so for the longevity of the program and everybody involved, everyone on offense has at least one more year.
I didn't realize that. That's wild.
From the skill position standpoint, that's fantastic. And so, it's got to help recruiting.
At 7-1, this is their remaining schedule. You ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
SMU, Temple, Tulane, Memphis. This is a team that's going to go 11-1.
They're going to run it.
This is a team that's going to go 11-1.
Another big bowl game coming as long as they take care of biz at the end of the year.
11-1, and if they do take care of business at the end of the year, this is a team I feel confident. I don't feel like it's crazy, I should say. Not confident. I don't feel like it's crazy to say that if the Cougs win out, including if they face UCF and that happens, which I'm sure it will,
yep,
They could be a New Year's Six team.
That's what I'm saying. Another big bowl game yeah. awaits if they just take care of their business. Everybody was talking to us about the Longhorns getting into a possible playoff and Final Four situation
playoff.
If they ran the table. Now that that's off the table, more close to home, with more people concerned and caring about it, the Cougs got a chance to make another statement.
Yep.
And that's fantastic.
Yep. Good for them.
So, yeah, big win for the Cougars. Looked like it was a pretty good crowd, too, because I always worry about on national TV
yeah,
games.
Yeah, you worry about how they're going to draw. But not bad, not bad. I don't think that stadium shows well on TV.
Now, I heard Palillo call it the deck because it's T-D-E-C-U stadium, Tadecu.
He called it Tadec or the deck?
No, he called it the deck for short, but I think you're forgetting there's a U on the end. There's no...
Yeah, I don't know.
And I don't know if Charlie talks slang enough to call it Tadec instead of the deck, so I don't think that... But Nick, have you ever heard Cougs call the stadium the deck?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, I haven't either. Charlie called it that today. I was like, well, at least he went to a game.
Yeah, that's...
Because it's a nice stadium. I took Lisa's dad there.
A couple of years ago, I went to a game with my mom, and it's not a bad place to watch a game.
And I'll tell you this, the old stadium, they were, you know, was in terms of, it wasn't modernized in terms of like VIP areas and all those different things. Well, I've got several friends that are big donors and ex-Cougs, and they gave us some passes we didn't know what it was for, and her dad is a football coach, so he just wanted to see the game anyway. But at one point, we just went up, and there's this huge, like, one massive group suite full of nothing but stations with all kinds of food and drink and everything, and it's all free. And I'm like, wow, you'd expect to see that at Alabama, Oklahoma, but U of H just got that in a really nice stadium. That's pretty cool.
Congratulations to the Cougs, too. They enter the top 25 at
17, right?
17. Good for them.
And like you said, if they do what they're supposed to do the rest of the way, that's only going to go up, that number.
Yep.
Which is great.
Yep.
There was a lot of upsets, however, in college football, and that sets us up beautifully for the fact that tomorrow night, we will get the first rankings coming out.
Looking forward to that,
for the postseason playoffs. So we'll get to that. We can touch on some of the rankings and the upsets if we continue to talk college football. But plenty more to get to on the show, from pro to baseball,
plus your
to
texts.
Basketball.
We've got a bunch of texts for random
tweets,
topics.
Everything's set up for a great finish after one hell of a first hour. It's much more of the usual suspects, and it's all right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Once again, I've been telling you about them for quite a while. If you're looking for solid wood American-made furniture that's going to last a long time at a quality price, look no further than Gallery Furniture and Mattress Mack. You see the commercials, you hear them on radio, you know he sponsors the show. You also know that in times of need, where Houstonians are going through natural disasters and a lot of different things, he's always there to help. Well, he's here to help you with your furniture first and foremost, because that's where he got to be in a position to help you. Three locations to better serve you. You can go to Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria, and I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways. Regardless of which of the three locations you choose, same great customer service, and more so than anything else, same great quality furniture that's going to be accessible and ready for you the day you buy it. You buy it and you get it within 3 to 4 hours of your purchase time. The delivery people are always accommodating and willing to help if you want furniture removed, gotten rid of, and taken away, or if you just want it rearranged to make room for the furniture that you just bought. They take care of you because they want you to be return customers. And I'm a return customer, and I tell you, just strictly from my own experiences and from the experiences of people here at the station that have told me so, when they go to Gallery Furniture, it's exactly what they say is exactly what they're going to do. That means that there's no back order slips. They take care of you by delivering the same day. You're going to get quality furniture. It's going to last. And the most important thing that they always say is exactly what they're going to do, and it means the most to you. That means that Gallery really will save you money.
So, you want to go out tonight but don't know where to go? Easy fix. Head over to culturemap.com for the latest social happenings going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Welcome back to The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, Joel with you until 4 p.m. when the Blitz takes over. You want to get in touch with the show, 713-780-3776 is the number. You can call that number. You can text that number, 713-780-ESPN. That's how you can get contact with us. Or you can hit us up on Twitter, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny.
How does it smell in there?
At the producer, Nick. It smells fine.
Okay. Just making sure for you.
Why?
I'm just saying. There may or may not have been something released in that studio.
That's false.
Just saying.
You tooted?
I would be like.
I would know.
I would be giving him the crap-ass grin face.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Well, I heard.
How could you hear through the
window?
Because
that thing was loud.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. I don't think that's the case. Okay. Well, just.
He was ripping ass in the studio. Let's just say.
With you?
Yeah. No, when you were outside the studio, when you were not here, not in this break, in the commercial break, he was ripping ass.
Okay.
And I just want you to. I was trying to help you out. But apparently, you don't smell anything.
I have no. First of all.
No, I don't smell anything.
This is ridiculous.
I should be recording what's going on in the commercial
break,
but I don't.
You are the master recorder, as we're about to find out later. But I'm just saying, Private Eye.
Oh, spy versus spy looking ass.
Trey is so worried about what we're going to play.
This is going to be great. When are we going to do it? We'll do it 2:45?
We're moving it to 2:45?
I think we should do it at 2:45.
All right, cool. Yeah, that works.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Keep the people. Jerry says, somebody told me you guys were making fun of my eyebrows on the air.
Today? Jerry, it's not all about you. Yeah. You just have too much time on your hands now that you only have one wheel.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Comrade. KGB.
Hey, Lewis Hamilton wins another F1 World Championship to equal Juan Manuel Fangio.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy? I thought he was going to go through a little bit of a lull based on the fact that Nicole Scherzinger isn't his girl anymore. But dude,
he
is just kicking ass and probably grabbing it.
You can't stop Lewis Hamilton.
That dude right there.
Could only hope to contain.
Could be legendary if he keeps us up for a few more years.
Show?
No, we
Hell
do not.
No.
Thank you.
Well, moving
Appreciate
on.
Appreciate that.
Somebody suggested that the Texans hire Hugh Jackson as their OC.
If you missed it, Hugh Jackson, Hard Knocks for Hugh. He gone? We had said all along, even through Hard Knocks, that John Dorsey didn't select Hugh Jackson, just kind of get him a solid and let him stick around. But you could see the dominant personalities and egos in the room and on Hard Knocks with Greg Williams and with Todd Haley. Well, when he probably sealed his own fate when he started saying that he was going to dabble in the offensive play calling because he didn't have confidence in Todd Haley. Well, it became a who's going to go, who's going to stay, and Hugh gone. And don't feel bad for Hugh, by the
way. They let the OC go, too.
Todd Haley's gone as well? I did not see that.
Yeah, I just saw it on the ticker over there.
Let's be very clear. If you don't feel bad for Hugh Jackson.
I think we know who won that.
He's got another year and a half left on his deal. He's going to be paid very handsomely. He'll be fine.
Can you confirm that it was also the OC, Nick? Can you confirm that while we're I'm going to get to some of these texts, but I'm pretty sure I saw that it was not just – it was, Trey, you can confirm it? Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you this. If you want an offensive coordinator for the Texans, I'll take Todd Haley before I'd take Hugh Jackson. I know Hugh Jackson's an offensive mind. But, yeah, we're getting confirmation that Todd Haley was fired Haley, after all the years with the Steelers, go ahead, bring him here.
Yeah, I'm with you. A couple of people have texted, Barry, have you played Red Dead Redemption? Have you played it? I'm going to get to it, I promise. We're going to discuss it at some point. I have many, many thoughts about this, and I know a lot of you do play it, so we'll get to that at some point. Houston Rockets have a reputation of messing up a championship team. It did the same thing when they let Sam Cassell go and got Barkley. So who's responsible for this, the coach or the front office?
I agree with him on the Barkley part. I didn't like that trade, but
I loved it. But that was just selfishly personal. I'll say this. If this continues to go south, Mike D'Antoni has no reason to be blamed, although he will be.
He will be.
And I hate this. Yep. But at the same time, he didn't make these moves. He didn't commit to Carmelo Anthony.
I'm sure he was on board because it was what his players, his two star players, Paul and Harden wanted, and the GM and maybe the owner, and you know, it's probably what they wanted. So he was like, "Yeah, I'll make it work." Do you think that was the case?
Here's the thing: Mike D'Antoni is pretty much, based on his own choice, this is probably his last stop in coaching.
Yeah,
based on his age, his experience, everything like that, he did everything to stay and warrant that he should be able to stay as long as he wants to do whatever he's been doing because he's doing it well, and he turned around what was a very unstable ship. to do all the things they did last year. With that being said, the main reason why he accepted a guy that he walked away from a job from the last time he coached him in Carmelo Anthony, the main reason why he accepted the bringing of Carmelo Anthony to Houston is because he was getting paid very well.
Yep.
And because that contract. And the difference between him and Jeff Bezdelic is he makes a hell of a lot more than his defensive coordinator did.
Yeah.
So I think that it's unfortunate that if he would be the fall guy for a move that was strictly Daryl Morey and probably the owner had the say-so, and like you said, and his two best players, because I don't think, and from people I've talked to, there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of other people on that roster that wanted to see that experiment come to fruition in Houston.
There were. It was mixed with fans and pundits and everybody, but I just think it's too early to call it a failure, but you have to be very concerned right now. And look, if you would have added Carmelo Anthony to this team that also already had Mbamute and Trevor Ariza, or maybe you lost Ariza but kept Mbamute, it's a different thing. But you can't lose all of that defense.
Yeah, I've been harping it.
And your defensive coordinator in Bezdelic, and add a guy that's a liability and like Carmelo.
And you've installed him into the starting lineup, which is
yep.
This is another scary situation, I feel like. I know a lot of people are okay with it, but people are saying, well, they ran out of bodies. But I think if you keep them off the bench and you get them used to that, I think that could benefit down the line.
I was
going to
say, it's a great point because he wins. Because all of his bitching and the fact that I pointed out that after games when you should be hearing from your two best players, instead the focus is Carmelo happy? Why is he talking about how emotionally he's going to have to get into this and accept it and get used to it? And all those things. And now all of a sudden you start him. Now he's going to say, well, why don't I just continue to keep starting? And it sets yourself up for a lot of failures. I just did a video for Sports Map, and it may be out this afternoon, or else just check my Twitter. It'll come out tomorrow morning. But the thing that I kept saying is, you guys got mad at me when I said it in the offseason. Not you two personally, but the fans out there. They got mad as we got into training camp, and I said, you've got to address the defense. You have to be worried about what Barry said. The two of your better defenders and your defensive coordinator are gone, and he left at such a time you couldn't replace him. So the best thing that you can hope for now is Daryl's at least a realist to look in the mirror and be willing to accept the fact it ain't working right now. And regardless of whether it was or not, and even if Carmelo was playing better and there weren't guys out with injuries and suspensions, your roster isn't close to what Golden State's got. And while you were tinkering and lost shooting and scoring and defense and replaced it with guys that can't shoot and a guy that's on the downside, Golden State added a top five center. They got better.
Here's the other part, though. And maybe it's just because I'm not a basketball
junkie official.
Like you guys, yeah. But I'm watching this Rockets team. I'm like, I don't know any of these dudes.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of new faces, man.
I know of these guys, but it's one of those things where even when you saw, you know, like Mbamute, there's been some consistency on this roster. There's been a ton of turnover. Like, you know, two guys, but I'm like, what's a Michael Carter Williams?
You know
what is like?
Right.
What is this? I don't know.
Who's Michael Carter
this team?
Who's Marquise Chris?
As a fan, you watch this team and you go,
I'm not connecting.
Yeah, you're not connecting that's with this team yet, and that's going to be a big problem for the Rockets.
And you can expect Clark to get more minutes, Joel. Don't think that he's not going to get minutes. And the first time they played him, it was just simply a breather for James Harden. So he was literally in the game for 2 minutes, but they actually utilized him.
They like him.
What they did is they went out and got a bunch of role players that hardcore NBA watchers know of these guys, but the casual fan. At least the casual fan could look on the floor and go, that's Trevor Ariza. Okay. And you knew who Mbamute was but by halfway of the season.
But
you're looking at these cats, and I don't feel like I'm going to know who these cats are.
But you know what? Here's the thing, too. At least go out and get those players, and even if your fan base doesn't know them per se at the start, get them to a point where they know your system, they fit it well, which means they shoot threes, they make shots, they run the floor, so that eventually the fans would get to that point. They didn't add that.
No.
They added guys that can't shoot and can't shoot the three and can't do the thing and can't play the D. 3-and-D guys is what you're supposed to be adding. These guys are role players for another system, not the Rockets system. They're not going to fit in.
Did you see the quote from Tim McMahon? D'Antoni says, awful Rockets defense needs a do-over in a major way.
And I've been getting killed for it. And everybody said, well, it's too soon to say that. It's too soon, and you can't say it before the season. Then you can't say it a couple games in. Well, now other people are starting to say it, and now people are just, amazingly, they've just gone away, Mike Gundy style. They're not going to say anything more to me for the time being. Look, I want them to get better, but the biggest thing is for Daryl to realize this roster as it stands right now ain't good enough, So you got time to do something, whether it's Jimmy Butler or otherwise. Better start kicking the tires.
Yeah, and also that Clippers team. That's a fun team to watch.
I like Gallinari. Revenge guy.
I'm a big fan of Gallinari.
How about Montrezl Harrell?
Yeah, going on 30.
We were saying it when he was here. D'Antoni's got to play this guy, and he refused to play him. Now every time they play, he has some point in the game where he looks right directly at Mike D'Antoni and says an expletive filled, "You probably were wrong there."
Yeah, you swung and missed.
Screwed up.
You know what you can't screw up? Going to Cowboys and Indians and eating. You can't miss with that. You can't swing and a miss. You can't screw it up like the Rockets have their defense. Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen, 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. The food is absolutely delicious. I had somebody come up to me this past weekend and said, "Hey, do you really eat at Cowboys and Indians?" "Yeah, all the time." He was like, "But is it really good?" He goes, "I'm thinking about taking my wife. I don't know, though, because, you know, it's advertising." No, I promise you, Cowboys and Indians is as good and as delicious as I'm telling you it is. And don't take my word for it. I mean, look at the Yelp reviews. Look at the people on Instagram commenting after they go there. Look, I mean, I could show you messages from listeners that have gotten back to me and tell me how good the food is. It is outstanding. It's one of the best places you'll eat in this city. They've got some of the best food in the city, like Indian food. You like butter chicken? Some of the best in the city. Himalayan Heat Burger, that's Southwestern flair. You like hamburgers? One of the best in the city. Now, I have proclaimed that, but I'm telling you it is. Put it on your must-try hamburgers. All the food delicious. The Indian food has been passed down over Haas' family over the generations and perfected right there in the kitchen. So it's something for everybody. You can eat healthy. You can eat Southwestern fare like this big chicken fried steak that's going to make you full. Or you can get something like the kebabs and eat a little healthier. It's all good, all outstanding. Full-service bar, so you can get your drink on. You can watch the games on the TVs. And you can have it delivered via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. And don't forget, I'm always pushing those non-quesadillas. Mention you heard us on the radio, and they'll give you 20% off of those. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where they're located. They have trivia nights every Wednesday. And if you need more information, just check them out on Facebook or Instagram, CNI713. Make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half of the show. 90 in the books and 90 still to go. So if you missed anything, as always, head to the podcasts, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab. It'll take you where you need to go. And there you can get everything you missed of the show. Other than that, we've been rolling along. Started to cover a little bit about the Cougs. I had a whole lot of fun in hour number one. If I recommend anything to you people, go back and listen to that, because that was a great way to start the show and start the week. Still plenty more to get to, including a recap of NFL and lots of other things.
How about that game, that Kentucky game? Kentucky with no time on the clock.
A little bit of controversy
beating Missouri.
With a call there.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Earlier, what did I miss?
There's a lot of people, and you can Google it and search it, but there was a bit of a call gaffe that has got some people a little hot under the clock.
Yeah, I must have missed that.
Yeah.
But, boy, this is making that Aggie loss ring pretty big right now, because they've got wins over Florida, Mississippi State, and they've got that loss to A&M. But don't look now, man, but Kentucky moving up in the polls. In fact, the latest polls are out. Kentucky at 11, up a spot. Washington State jumps up four spots after
their
big win.
They're playing well. Second week in a row, big win, because they beat Oregon the week before.
Yeah, UCF moved up a spot to 9. Ohio State moved up three spots to 8. Oklahoma up a spot to 7. Georgia up 1 to 6. And then the top 5 didn't change. Michigan at 5, LSU 4, Notre Dame 3, Clemson 2, and Bama checking in at number 1. And somebody texted the show and asked, do you give LSU a shot at all to beat Bama this weekend?
I want them to win in the worst way, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't give them a shot to beat them. I think the second half might be competitive when they're firing on all cylinders and fighting at full strength. But remember, too, the thing about Bama is because the kid that got suspended for the first half will be back. I forget his name. But he'll be back for the second half.
White.
Yeah. Yep. But the problem with Bama, and this is what makes them so good, is that when they start to get tired and they bring in a second team or backups, they're as good as most teams' starters. So you've got to deal with that depth, and they don't. That's why they don't feel you feel like they don't get tired, or they don't look like they lose anything going into the fourth quarter. So I wish I could sit here and tell you that I think LSU is going to beat Bama. I think the game could be and will be competitive. I don't think it's going to be a blowout, but I don't think they're beating Bama.
And here's
Bama.
The thing. For everybody that was clamoring earlier for the SEC to reverse the decision on the hit on the quarterback that got White suspended for the first half of the Alabama game, they have been very clear saying it's not the conference's decision. It's an NCAA rule. Therefore, you can't appeal it. There is no way to get it reversed, to get him back on the field. And I think that hurts because, you know, he's one of the, if not the best, he's one of the two best players on the defensive side of the football for the Tigers. And he obviously is a difference maker. It's just that when you're talking about Alabama, you're talking about a guy like Tua who hasn't thrown a pick, who has hardly played in the fourth quarter, which means the numbers that he's putting up are even more impressive because of the fact that he's only playing three quarters of each game. Yeah. And you know that their depth chart is like five stars on the first and second string, four stars after that. They're loaded. And so do I think that they're going to win? No. Do I want them to win? Absolutely. And I hope that they do, but it's a tall order.
I just want to see just for the controversy and the turmoil that it'll cause. A lot of upsets this weekend, too. Number six, Texas falls to Oklahoma State, 38-35. Kentucky had that snuck in with that win. Washington,
by the way,
fell.
In the Kentucky game.
Yeah.
The only reason why they were able to tie the score with no time remaining on the clock was a horrendous pass interference call in the corner of the end zone on the last play of the game. If they don't make the call, the game's over. Instead, they do. Kentucky ends up scoring and winning the
game. Washington, though, fell. Yep. Number 15, Washington lost to Cal 12-10. Again, A&M at 16 lost to Mississippi State 28-13. Penn State snuck past Iowa. Oregon lost, and they were ranked 19. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin lost. They were ranked 20th. South Florida lost. We discussed that already, to U of H. NC State at 22 lost. Tons of upsets in the bottom half of the bracket, more so than the top. But still, man, it's
well,
it seems
great.
Like there's a few elite teams.
Yeah.
And then there's just a bunch of guys.
It's great from a couple different reasons. One, it's sorting itself out before we even have the first rankings for the playoff.
Yeah.
And then secondly, there's still six or so teams that are going to be tinkering around at the top. So it's not definitive and you just go, hey, it's just these four teams and everybody else is playing for other bowls. There's, you know, but again, LSU's way up there, but they play Alabama.
So how do you think that this is going to shape out, this first playoff bracket?
I mean, obviously,
we know Bama and Clemson.
Bama, Clemson,
right?
Yeah, are 1 and 2. Notre Dame's under their three.
I think the controversy comes 4, 5, and 6, maybe
Michigan,
7.
LSU.
Oh, there's a bunch of 7-1 teams clustered together.
Yeah, so Michigan and LSU are probably the first two in that discussion
that
are going to be mentioned. Neither one of them impressed me. I think Georgia still has a chance to kind of save their season and get back up there.
Oklahoma. But,
again, not as tough a schedule, so it wouldn't be as impressive if they did.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's some teams that you can throw out there. But the top three are pretty solidified right now.
Yep.
But that fourth spot's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Well, and then, I mean, the fourth spot's going to be interesting because LSU is probably going to lose to Bama, which is going to not, even if they do get in this first week, it's not going to last very long.
Michigan still has to play Ohio State.
Yep.
So and that's before you even talk about a Big Ten championship.
One of those two is going to go, depending on what Georgia does for the rest of the year, they're probably going to end up, if they can win their the East, which it looks like they will, but that's a big game against Kentucky that they have coming up. So if they do win that game, then they're on track to get to lose to Bama in the SEC title game, which will knock them out of contention probably. It's going to be interesting, that fourth spot, who's going to end getting it.
And that's why we love this system.
So if I gave you this list of 7-1 teams currently that you had to pick from, who would you say at the end of the year would be? Because we'll assume Bama, Clemson, and Notre Dame went out. Let's just assume that.
Yep.
All right. Who is going to be your fourth playoff team? Is it LSU, Michigan, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, UCF, Washington State, or Kentucky? pick one of those teams to be your number four.
My gut feeling says it's still Ohio State.
Okay. They're just so loaded.
They're loaded. They're going to whack Michigan. And if they whack Michigan and it's impressive, and then they roll someone in the Big Ten title game, I think it'll say a lot. And it, previous reputation, too, of Meyer in the program.
Yeah.
I just got a feeling that it's going to be Ohio State.
I think you're probably right. And when you look at the fact that Michigan is 5 right now, if they do win that game, even Oklahoma beating West Virginia at 12, West Virginia might climb a spot or two to 10. It's just not going to be as impressive of a win as beating number 5 Michigan. So I'm with you. I think at the end of the day, when you look at all those teams, probably Ohio State.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. So.
If I were a betting man, I don't know that I would bet on Ohio State, though, just because it's a team you can't trust. But if I were going to put money on it, I would do it with my bookie. That's the place to be to get online action. It is the destination to put action on any game. It's safe, reliable. They've been around for years, which means you can trust them. And the thing that I worried about the most when I first started looking into where to wager and get action on games is, how am I going to get my money? Are they going to pay me? Because that's a big issue for a lot of folks is I want my money when I win. That's the beautiful thing about MyBookie. When you win, they pay you. So you know you can count on them. You know they're reliable and safe, but they're also going to give you your money when you win. And that's super important to everybody. They've got in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, hands down. And it's important, man, because who you're betting on is as important as who you're betting with. That's why you need to get with MyBookie. And for you fantasy guys, you can bet the over-under on fantasy points that a player will score each game. How cool is that? You're already playing fantasy. Now make it a little more interesting there as well. You've heard Fred say you can bet on horses, CFL. There's just about anything you can think of. It's out there. Heck, we could even bet on Raheel and how many three-pointers he won't make as opposed to how many he will make. Super easy to get started. Just go to mybookie.ag to sign up. And when you do sign up, they will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That's right, a dollar for dollar match on your deposit. All you have to do, make sure it's very important, all you have to do is put in promo code radio when you sign up to get that dollar for dollar match. Super easy to do. If you can't remember the website, just Google MyBookie and they'll take you right to it. But it's mybookie.ag. Use that promo code radio, get that dollar for dollar match. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, that's Lance Erline, in case you were wondering. We're back on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, Nick, Joel, Trey, Jong, Lance. It's Trey. Everyone. Anyway, Trey, look at him. He's in there.
Well, I know. I didn't know he was getting billing here.
Yeah, because at the start of the show, he was doing a lot of conversating, and we have some things we have to bring up later.
Okay.
So I thought, welcome to the show, by the way. Thank you for joining us. We always appreciate and enjoy having you here. You
enjoying is a loose term.
Joel's so mean. He's so mean, isn't he? Is he? He's... you wonder...
I wonder if he's going to make the suspect list of American Vandal, part 3.
So we got tipped off on the text line. Somebody texted the show and said, hey, go look at Zerline's wiki page. I didn't do
tipped
it.
Tipped off. Because, you know, people are always just searching random Wikipedia pages all
right.
day long.
There was a also story. Suspicious. So Aggie Joe called the show and told a story about somebody this weekend was out there impersonating me at a bar and was telling people that he was me, an Asian fella, by the way.
Yes.
Telling people he was me so he could get free drinks, promising them that they would be an intern at the station. And then when they found out it wasn't me, he got knocked out. The guy just punched him out cold.
Come on.
I love
he
it.
Got mad. He was buying drinks all night thinking he was getting in with ESPN. And when he found out it wasn't, he knocked
serves
him out.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it serves him right. If you're going around.
I guess so. Yeah, it's true.
You know, that's what you get, Jung. So, but anyways. Somebody then tipped us off to, I thought I was important because people are impersonating me. I don't have a wiki page. Right. You have a wiki page. You're a very important man. You do a lot of very important things. But I wanted to ask you about the personal life section of your wiki page.
I've seen it before.
So are you aware that someone has, I guess on your behalf, gone in and made some statements on your wiki page? Are you aware of them?
Fair to say they doctored it a little bit?
I have heard Jong gave me the heads up that, that there were some changes, some alterations made.
Under personal life, it starts off with, Lance is a staunch supporter of Hillary Clinton and even attended all Black Lives Matter movements.
Okay.
Is there any, do you dispute this? Are you upset with this?
They're 2-0 so far.
They're 2-0.
They're right on both.
So you have been to all of the Black Lives Matter
movements.
Every one of them. Okay, good for you.
Okay, what's the third one?
He is a fierce candidate for transgender equality and has stated that, quote, he one day wishes he could be as brave as Caitlyn Jenner was.
Yep, that's exactly what I said. That's now 4-0. We're now plus on 4.
All right.
What else? Is there something that's not accurate?
Zerline is married to a woman.
Well, for now.
For now.
Oh, what? Did my wife write this?
What? He has 5 children. I'm not going to read their names because that's creepy that they would put those out there.
That is kind of creepy.
But
I put them out on the radio all the time.
That's true. His son is nicknamed Snacks and has appeared in various viral videos.
Not really accurate. But
in radio content. And then they talk about your dad being a coach for the Cardinals.
Yeah. Okay.
So are you upset that people are changing?
I'm upset that they know all this about me now.
The accuracy
of they blew it out of the water.
That nailed it.
Can I just come out with my information whenever I want?
Now you say come out.
Yeah. I was going to say, because under your career, it says he graduated from Lamar Consolidated High School after coming out of the closet.
What?
Does it say that?
It indeed says that. I'm not going to give the year, but it says he graduated from Lamar Consolidated High School after coming out of the closet.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And?
Okay.
Well, no, where does it come out? I didn't come out then.
Right here? Under career?
Under career.
That's brand new. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, buddy, I mean, I'm proud of your bravery.
Yeah, most of the other part I feel like is accurate.
Is it accurate? Okay.
You were fast breaking with
really
Nate?
I didn't really fall out with management, but yeah, I fast broke with Nate. That was the first show I was on.
Right. Did you pass or just shoot?
I was just a shooter.
Yeah.
Shooters got shoot.
2008, the morning drive time pair was voted best talk radio by the Houston Press. Oh. And I just want to say congratulations. We got the ratings report.
Okay.
Number 2 in the city, you guys are.
All right.
You have overtaken the Ennis.
Okay, good. Yeah. Ennis, we beat 610.
Like a drum.
Well,
pretty much everybody did, I believe. Mm. Yeah, that's what happens sometimes. So you're good with this, though. You're okay?
Well, I think it gets altered back, but I know in the short term you can do it.
Are you going to report it, or is this one of those things where you're like, I don't care? There's just listeners being idiots.
Yeah.
Do you think Josh Ennis did that? Is he mad? And then he was like, you know what?
I probably put in his place on Twitter.
Should we?
Probably some guy who I was clowning for not liking the... You know, where he's like, these kids now with their fancy gloves making these catches. Take off the gloves and see what happens. I'm like, what? Quit screaming at a cloud, old man. They all wear gloves. Yeah. Are you going to go after, you know, golf and basketball for where, you know, you ever checked out the technology in basketball shoes or golf balls? You play both?
Yeah.
I mean, these kids with their fancy batting gloves. Kid Williams never had a batting glove.
People were out there last night saying, it would have been a different story in baseball if they had just gotten deeper on the pine tar on the Red Sox pitcher's wrists.
Yeah.
That would have made all the difference.
Let me tell you something. DeAndre Hopkins' catch, it must have been the gloves. That's what made him catch it on his own sack. He wore a ball glove.
He had a third glove. You don't see it.
These guys with this like image. I didn't know about this group. There's like 3 or 4 of them in the world, and they all search because like all they talk about is they search Twitter feeds. Because none of them follow me, and yet they were all commenting. They all search Twitter feeds like for great catch videos, and just say if there weren't any gloves, make that catch. And I'm like, what?
That's their whole life.
Oh, man, fall in a ditch and die.
Well, until you said it was about gloves.
I literally wish every one of them would die.
Every one of those idiots.
Wow.
Not right. a metaphorical death.
Wishes wow. death. Let's see. I'm going to update your personal life.
I thought you said they were videos about catches. I would have said, you know, Daryl Morey's intern.
I'm updating your personal life section right
he
now.
He had those people out there just for Rockets information.
Oh, did he? Really?
Yeah.
Looking out for him. Bots. You know, NFL teams, this is actually like, serious. I don't want those people to die, but just get a little hurt.
Just hurt?
Yeah. Just hurt.
What is this?
And feelings hurt mostly.
Lance Lightning Zerline?
I'm just afraid of lightning. That's another. I didn't know that was on there either, but that's probably why. Because I'm afraid. Because I know I'm going to get killed by a lightning.
Are you seriously afraid of lightning?
No, not. Oh,
you
yeah,
and Carol Dawson?
CD
Carol
got hit.
Dawson's been hit twice.
Yeah, CD got You're hit really twice.
Once is supposed to be a rarity. Didn't twice?
Isn't that one of the reasons?
He's lost sight in one eye.
Thank you. I mean, why should I not be afraid of lightning? And yeah, I think I'm going to die from a lightning strike. I've known this for about 10 or 12 years. I wish I could bet on it in Vegas.
More power to you.
You won't be around to spend it.
I couldn't. I know. See what I know. Because that's the thing. I don't care about more power. I got it.
Thank you.
But I'm not going to let my wife benefit from being able to cash a ticket on my death.
My wife feels like she's going to die in a car by drowning. She told me that.
That's specific,
so whenever it rains, I have to drive like 5 miles an hour everywhere. And it rains a lot here, so.
Yeah,
we're screwed. Well, we appreciate you joining
us. Because it's raining. You want to tell me you're driving like near a big body of water? Okay, you're going to tell me you're driving over one of those giant bridges that seem to last for 50 miles headed to New Orleans or whatever.
Here's how we do this. Lance does the entertainment. Someone's got to cut him off. Hey, we've got 1 hour to go in the big show still. Two early. In the books.
I know.
And plenty more Sports to get Mappers. To. Don't go anywhere. It is The Usual Suspects. It is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.